So, good morning and welcome to week 8 in this series on Kriyas HaTorah. We began by talking about where Kriyas HaTorah came from, the original institution, who is exactly obligated in this mitzvah, is it individual, is it communal, is it for me to hear it, is it for me to read it. We then went into the nature of the brachos that are made on Kriyas HaTorah, on these Berachos HaMitzvah. Or can we look at them some other way? Who is supposed to recite Berachos HaTorah? And then we discussed also the institution of the Baal Kriya and how the Ola recites the Bracha if he's not the one laning, and we gave different approaches to that. The discussion of whether the Ola is also supposed to read along with the Baal Kriya, or whether reading along with the Baal Kriya is actually a destructive idea. Two different approaches there. And then we moved into the question of women and Aliyos. Based on our understanding of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, can women count towards the 7? We noted that obviously the Braisa says that women do count towards the 7, and then the question is, how does that work? How does that fit into the framework of the mitzvah? Were they able to get all the Aliyos? Maybe they could only get some of the Aliyos, maybe going back to the times when you only made a bracha on the first and last Aliyos, maybe they only got the middle Aliyos. The debate on whether women would be able to make a bracha on their Aliyah figured into that as well. We discussed the woman as a Baalat Kriya along the way. And then moved from the technical discussion of the first, I don't know, 5 or so weeks into a discussion of, okay, having said all of this, we do know that the Braisa says that women count towards the 7. So however we resolve the problems of who's making the bracha and who is laning and so on, at the end of the day, in the period of the Tanoim, there was a phenomenon of women getting some aliyah, going up for some aliyah latorah. But then we were told, we don't do this because of kavod tzibur, the honor of the community. And so the question is, what does that mean? And what kind of an idea is this? Is this, you know, a requirement? How do we look at this? So we had we talked about the idea of the Pachad Yitzchak Lempranti, that this goes back to Yisro's objection to Moshe, where Moshe is making everybody stand while he is judging them, and he says this is Yisro objects and says it's inappropriate, and the Pachad Yitzchak suggests that's the origin of the idea of Kavod Tzibur, that there has to be a certain level of respect for the community, which may or may not be the same thing as Tircha Tzibura, that you're not supposed to strain the community. We talked about cases that appear in the Gemara of Kavod Tzibur outside of the framework of women's aliyos. So we talked about reading from an incomplete Sefer Torah. We talked about rolling the Torah b'tzibur as opposed to taking care of it beforehand. Then we went into related cases, the chazan who doesn't have a beard. As a permanent chazan, it's inappropriate to have somebody who doesn't have a beard. The chazan who gets up there with torn clothing was another example. A minor duchening alone, and then cases that were added apparently by the Rishonim. So specifically the idea of standing while you read the Megillah for a community, or the idea of women reading the Megillah on behalf of men. And we talked our way through all of those things, and we came up with two basic concepts of Kavod HaTzibur. Number one is that if an action shows disrespect to the community, such as you're rolling the Torah in public, making the community wait, that presents a problem of kavod tzibur. Or, second, if something makes the community look like it does not deserve respect. So, for example, the community puts up a chazan who doesn't have a beard. That would be an example of a violation of kavod tzibur. There is a third idea that is suggested, but that is hard to fit in with this idea of kavod tzibur, but we're going to see it today in a significant way. And that is the question of whether there is an issue of kavod tzibur in showing disrespect somehow to Hashem, that is a violation of kavod tzibur as well. So keep that in the back of your mind, because it's also an issue. Last time we talked about the question of whether kavod tzibur is an absolute value. Is it only perhaps lechatchila? We saw a couple of sources that seem to indicate that kavod tzibur is a lechatchila rather than a hard and fast idea that will automatically disqualify activities that are not in keeping with kavod tzibur. We also talked about the question of whether kavod tzibur might be subjective. Maybe a community could say, for us, this really isn't such an issue. So for example, we gave the case of a youth minion. You have a whole bunch of teenagers who daven together for a minyan, and their set chazan has no beard. But none of them have beards. So is that going to be a violation of Kavod Tzibur? Do we say Kavod Tzibur? It depends on who the people are. Or the other case that we saw, the Or Letzion, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, raised the question of a family get-together in which they have enough males to have a minyan, and they want to give an aliyah to the matriarch of the family. So, however I define Kavod Tzibur, but if I take Kavod Tzibur to mean somehow that the woman's standing is not respectful, you know, that you're going to give the woman the aliyah, if she's the matriarch of the family and they're all members of her family, maybe that's fine within the parameters of Kavod Tzibur. It's not, you know, it's not a diminution of their Kavod to give an aliyah to the matriarch of the family. So that was another question. And then the major question, which we started on last time and I want to complete today, is the question of, even if Kavod Tzibur is not subjective, even if it's objective, whatever it is that the Gemara and the Rishonim define as Kavod Tzibur concerns, that's the way they were and that's the way they remain forever. Nonetheless, is it possible to argue that a community could forgive its honor and say, okay, you're right, this is not in keeping with our Kavod. Nonetheless, we're good with that. Either because we have some other value that to us is more important. So, for example, to take the case at hand, let's pretend for a moment that we decide that women getting aliyos is not in keeping with Kavod Tzibur, but there's a concern about how the women feel. They're offended by not getting an aliyah, and maybe that matters more to us, and therefore we're going to forgive it. And that indeed is an argument that some have put forth. That's number one. Or, potentially, what about the following situation? We're going to see it. We already saw it last week in Yuma, although I didn't state it explicitly. What about a situation in which you can't fulfill your mitzvah without violating Kavod Tzibur? For example, we'll see it again, but we saw the Gemara in Yuma that talked about the Kohen Gadol landing on Yom Kippur. Right? And we said the Kohen Gadol lanes from the first Sefer Torah, well, the only Sefer Torah, they're only using one. We discussed why not bring a second one. That was the Gemara Yuma Ayin that we saw. But the Mishnah in Yuma Samaches said the Kohen Gadol lanes out of the first Sefer Torah, and then does Maftir by heart. Why is he doing it by heart? You're not supposed to lane by heart. It's even an Isser to lane by heart. Right? But we said, nonetheless, we're going to do that because the alternative is to roll a Torah. And we don't want to roll the Torah b'tzibur, because that will offend Kavod Tzibur. Right? That was our concept there. So what about the following case? What about a case in which you don't have somebody who can lean by heart? Leaning by heart is not an option. And you only have one Sefer Torah. And it's, I don't know, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So are you going to say now, so we can't lay Maftir? Or will you say, you know, we'll deal with it. We'll roll the Sefer Torah. It's not covered at Tzibur to make everybody wait while you roll the Torah? Okay. Nonetheless, Mochazan, because we want to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Right? So what will you say? Does covered at Tzibur, be forgiven? So that's what we're looking at now. So last week, after some background material on this issue, we saw the view of the Rambam, and we saw that the Rambam is unclear. The Rambam writes in Hechaz Tefillah Parches Halach Yedal, this was last week, that you can't have a beardless chazan. The Beis Yosef quotes that Rambam, and he says the Rambam would seem to permit mechila. It wasn't clear exactly how the Beis Yosef got that from the wording of the Rambam. We offered a couple of suggestions. The Taz disagreed and said no. He said, logically, you can't argue that the Rambam is mochel, because he says this is really not about the kavod of the tzibur. It's really about what I mentioned earlier, kavod shamayim. It's really about the honor of Hashem. It's not really about the honor of the community. So there's no way that you could be mochel. We have to come back to that idea that he's suggesting, that it's really kavod of Hashem, not kavod of the tzibur. We're going to come back to that. So the Rambam's view is subject to a debate between the Beis Yosef, who says the Rambam allows you to forgive kavod tzibur, and the Taz, who says, no, the Rambam does not allow you to forgive kavod tzibur. The last point that we saw was the Rush regarding the beardless chazan, and again, the Beis Yosef quoted the Rush, and he said the Rush believes that the tzibur cannot forgive it. The tzibur does not have the option of forgiving kavod tzibur. Clear? Okay, I realize that, you know, that was an extended roundup of stuff, but it was too long to be a quick summary and too short to actually say anything. But nonetheless, it brings us to other influential Rishonim. So the position of the Mordechai is that you can be mochal on kavod tzibur, for the sake of a greater mitzvah purpose. If you take a look at source Aleph, please, on the sheet. This is the Mordechai, not in the main Mordechai. You have to keep in mind, when you read the Mordechai in certain Mesechtos, you have the main Mordechai, and then at the end you have the Hagos Mordechai. So this is the Hagos Mordechai. It appears at the end of the Mordechai in Gittin. And he's dealing with a case in which you have a Sefer Torah with a particular flawed section. Right, as you'll see, there's a tear in the cloth. And so the question now is, do we do Kriyas HaTorah? How do we do Kriyas HaTorah? So, Heshiv HaShaheshiv HaSar Mishantz. He quotes one of the Balei HaTosfos, the Rash Mishantz. Vishesha'altem al Sefer Torah, Shenikwa Shalosh Shitin. You ask me a question regarding a Sefer Torah that has three torn lines. So he goes through a discussion. He says, V'hadi Isa Perak HaNizakin, the Gemara in the fifth Perak of Gittin, right, says, Sefer Torah Shechaser Yiriya Ein Korin Ba, Mishum Dechaser Bimil Sei. It says that if you have a Sefer Torah that's missing a sheet of parchment, you can't read from it because it's lacking. So he says, Mistaber Taima Mishum Kavod Tzibur. So he says, logically, the reason is because of Kavod Tzibur. How do I know that? Kedamri Nahasam, like the Gemara says, we've already seen it. Rav of Rav Yosef, lo karu bechumashim beis haknesses mishum Kavod Tzibur. Rav and Rav Yosef said, you can't read from a chumash. Chumash means a parchment cloth, just not the entire Sefer Torah. Just one chumash out of the Sefer Torah. He says, you can't use that because of Kavod Tzibur. So he says, presumably, the reason why the Gemara says you can't use a Sefer Torah that's missing one of the parchments is because of Kavod Tzibur. He says that won't only be true if it's just Chumash Bereishis. That'll be true even if it's an entire Sefer Torah minus one of the Yiriyos, one of the segments of parchment. And he writes, Umutav, I underlined it, the Rash Mishantz did not underline it, Umutav yidache kavod tzibur hecha delo efshar, kodim shetidache takanas chachamim, better for the honor of the community to be overridden where there are no other options, rather than have the takana of the chachamim be overridden. Okay, he says, better to lose kavod tzibur than to lose Kriyas HaTorah. Sheniskan mime Moshe legros batara. This goes all the way back to Moshe, as we've discussed. We have the same situation, he says, in the Gemara at the end of Megillah. In Gol in Sefer Torah, but Tzibur b'nei Kavod. It says you don't roll the Torah in the community while the community is sitting there because of Kavod. But he says we do this all the time. We roll the Torah in Shul, right? We've all seen it. It happens. They took the wrong one out of the oven, and now you can't put it back, or whatever the reason is. Or if you only have one Sefer Torah, as can happen. So he says, that's what you do. So obviously that means mitzvah trumps kavod tzibur. V'odeteda gabe chaser ria achas kamar in korin velo kamar aser lukros. He also does a deal. He says, look at the language. The language of ein korin means we don't do this. As opposed to aser lukros, which means we are not allowed to do this. So he says, ein korin could be read as saying, l'chatchilo, we don't do this, but you could if you had to.
Is that true? Assume that,
do we? Never I don't know. It definitely sounds more lechatchila than osur likros. We do have cases like that, yes. But you're right. It's not. It wouldn't. If that was all you had to stand on, I wouldn't be so compelled. Shmamina ein korin hecha de efshar hecha de lasher shari v'shalom shimshon baravron. So that's the position of the Rash Mishantz quoted by the Mordechai. He argues that Kavod Tzibur may be overridden for a greater purpose. The Shilta Gibarim also takes the position that you may be mocha. If you take a look at source base, he's dealing with, as I wrote in parentheses there, the Chazan who doesn't have a complete beard. Okay, this is the Shilta Gibarim that appears on the Rif, as opposed to the Shilta Gibarim that you sometimes see on the Mordechai. So he says, V'nira be'enai, it appears to me, the reason why you can't have the beardless chazan is because of kavod atzibur. But if they don't particularly care, then he can leave the davening, he can dochen gishevish te saros, assuming that he has reached physical maturity. Okay. He says, as far as I'm concerned, as long as he's bar mitzvah, if the tzibur doesn't care, then I don't care. Right, which I think is a fairly explicit statement. And there, he's not even like the Rash Mishantz, right? Where he says, well, if you have a greater value that you're concerned for, like the missing Kriyas HaTorah. No, as far as he's concerned, it's explicit in his words that the Tzibur can say, we're not Makbid. We don't care. What about... Yeah.
We're talking about here where we say that even if covenant seaboard is objective, you can be mochel. How do we know that Shulchan Gibor thinks that covenant seaboard is an objective standard? Can't that mean that it's subjective and you can be mochel?
Could you read the Shulchan Giborim to say that? It is, in fact, subjective.
I mean, I don't know.
It's an interesting question. No, I hear you.
He's saying it's covenant seaboard, but if they doesn't bother, then they could be mochel. Maybe that means it's subjective.
Maybe. I wouldn't... It wouldn't bother me terribly to say that that's what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, that's not the case in the Rashi Mishans. Right, the Rashi Mishans is saying it is a kavod problem. However, we override it.
Right, meaning it's yeah. Dechuya.
But I could see reading the Shulchan Gibor in that way. That wouldn't be the end of the world. Yeah. Again, nafkamina is what about in a case where we know it's kavod sibor? Right. In other words, if you're going to read the Shulchan Giborim to say this isn't a kavod problem for that sibor because they don't believe it's kavod and kavod is really subjective.
Right.
Then the outgrowth of that would be, and if there was something that really was kavod,
maybe he
wouldn't. Then he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. What about Rav Yosef Karo, also known as the Mechaber? So the answer, believe it or not, is that it is unclear what his position is. We have already seen it, but now we'll quote it here in Source Gimel. His position in Archaim Nun Gimel, when he talks about the beardless Chazan, and his quote of the Rambam and the Rush. He writes, Aval Arash Kasav B'tshuva Klal Dalid, Shemishal Nismali Zekano Yachal Yispalo Ba'akroi, Ke'achav B'nei Ha'ir Shemispalel, Shiyala Alibo, somebody who doesn't have a full beard, may still daven occasionally as the Chazan. Uvelach Lo Yismana Mipiyat Tzibur, but he can't be appointed by the community. O Mipi Shliach Tzibur HaMemana Oso La'akil Me'olav, or by the regular Chazan who wants to take a break. So this fellow is going to daven for him right now. V'zeo Shekasav Rabbeinu. So he says, and that's why why Rabbeinu, meaning the Torah, wrote, Afilu yesh echad memuna, ela shememane zel tachtav, lispal bemukomo, leitim yiduin. Mashmur, aval pisha tzibur mochlim al kavodam, elim noso. He says, the indication of the position of the Rush, as we've already seen, is that you may not be mochel. On the other hand, he quoted the Rambam and said that you may be mochel. So it's unclear when he quotes the Rambam one way and he quotes the Rush another way. He doesn't actually say, and I say X. So I don't know what his personal position is. On the other hand, when it comes to learning from a Chumash, he is mochel. Take a look at Source Dalet, please. V'kasav Migdal Oz, Perek Tes Mehecha Sefer Torah, Sherabenu Meshulam Kasav, Deheicha de'elam sefer Torah mutar likros b'chumash. Okay, Rabbeinu Meshulam, one of the Rishonim, takes the position that if you don't have a sefer Torah, you are allowed to learn from a chumash. V'leka lemechash l'kavod tzibur. We don't worry about kavod tzibur. Acha she'elam sefer Torah because they don't have a Torah. Ach Rabbeinu Tam omer da'asu. But Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says you may not. Umashakasav ha'gemara. This is now a side note, but you'll see why I bring it in. Umashakasav ha'gemara v'nei kavod tzibur. When the Gemara says you can't lean from a chumash because of kavod tzibur, zeu davka v'chumashin shalahem. That refers to their chumashim. Meaning, well, he says, shayu asuyin im galila v'im gilion. They used proper cloth, and they were rolled onto atzei chayim. It looked like a sefer Torah. It was just thinner. Ukedepirish Rashi, as Rashi says in the Gemara there. Ava chumashin shalanu, but our chumashim, he says, which are not, number one, they're made on, by the time you hit the Beis Yosef's time, they're not made on parchment. That's number one. Although, I don't know about the Migdal Oz. Quoting Migdal Oz on that, perhaps. But nonetheless, they're not made on cloth. And they're not rolled either. So he says, that for sure is Asur. That's not going to count. Asur likros bahem. V'gam v'kolvo kasav sheyesh omrim dehecha deleka sefer Torah bi'ir karim b'shabes v'chamisha chumshe Torah shalanu u'muvarchan lefaneu l'achareh v'sherabenu tam oser. The kolvo says that some say you could actually read with chamisha chumshe Torah shalanu, by which he means it's not a kasher sefer Torah at all. And they can make brachos, and Rabbeinu Tam says no, you may not. V'gam Mordechai Kasav Aparakanizakin Sheish Medaktikin Mimaydepirish Rashi Didaka Besefer Echad in Likros Medei Kavod Tzibur Habechumashim Didan Sheish Kol Chamisha Chumashim Da'ata ein ginai muter. He says that Mordechai in Gittin says that some people say, since Rashi tells you that when they say you're not supposed to read from a chumash, that means a single chumash, maybe that means that as long as you have the full text, you could read out of it. And it wouldn't be a kavod tzibur problem. Maybe the kavod tzibur problem is because it's incomplete, not because of the material it's written on. And therefore, if it's a complete Sefer Torah, it just happens to be written on paper, that you might be okay with it. Va'omer Rahavya, and this is the piece that I wanted to get to in this, the Rahavya says, De'ein b'divrei hamamash. He says, forget everything they're telling you. Okay, that's easy. Delo havi taima ella kedem afresh b'Yerushalmi perek b'nei ha'ir. He says that's not the reason why we don't use an incomplete Sefer Torah. That's not the reasoning. Ella kedem afresh b'Yerushalmi perek b'nei ha'ir. It says the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says migo dinafshin aguma anan zavin lach Torah. He says, the point is, as he puts it from the Yerushalmi, I don't remember if I quoted this earlier on, but he says, the reason not to lean from a Chumash is because you want people to miss Kriyas HaTorah. You want people to feel bad. Nafsham Aguma. You want them to feel bad that they're not getting Kriyas HaTorah and be motivated to buy themselves a Sefer Torah. As long as we're upset we can't lean, then we'll go get a Sefer Torah. As opposed to if you tell them that's right, you can use a Chumash, you know what happens? The first week they feel really terrible about it. The second week they feel, oh, this is strange. And the third week, okay, go get the Chumash, we have to do Kriyas HaTorah now. That's the way it works. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says, that's why it's not a Kavod Tzibur issue altogether. The Ravya says, not leaning from a Chumash has nothing to do with Kavod Tzibur. Not leaning from a Chumash is because you want to motivate them to get a Sefer Torah. And therefore, yes, they're going to miss Kriyas HaTorah. And they're supposed to miss Kriyas HaTorah. If you're going to override the whole thing, because, well, they don't have a Torah to read from, then you're defeating the purpose of the Takana. He says, even if you have a Sefer Torah that is written and simply written with something that is improper about it, it's not stitched together with the Gidin from the animal, it doesn't have a proper spacing between the lines, we aren't going to lean from it, right? Think about it. We wouldn't lean from a Sefer Torah if a letter was malformed, right? So he says, "Kolshkin b'chumashin da'aser likros." Certainly, from chumashim you can't. He says, "Lahazkir shem shemayim levatolah." It's mentioning Hashem's name in vain. Uchadivei Rav Yaakov b'tshuvas Ramban. He says the Ramban wrote that as well. V'chein kasav Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Disfarm shalanu she'ena masuim kitikun sefer Torah aser likros b'tzibur. You may not lean from a sefer Torah that is made inappropriately. This is the key. If you looked up, you missed it. He says the explanation of kavod hatzibur is not relevant because they could be for you to say that they could be mochel. Even if you want to make the argument that they may be mochel, nonetheless, you have the argument of the Ravya. Umi umashma, just to conclude his thought, umi umashma midbarav shebechumashim ha'asuim k'tikun sefer Torah im machlo hatzibur al kvodam korim bo. It does sound like he's saying that if you have a chumash that is made like a sefer Torah, I don't know exactly what that means. I don't exactly know what that means, but he says if they would forgive, then you would be able to read it, and so wrote the Mordechai, but the Yerushalmi doesn't indicate so. The Rav Yoz Yerushalmi doesn't indicate so. But the point that I'm bringing for this Beis Yosef for is that he indicates there is a theoretical possibility of Mechila, if not for this Yerushalmi. Mechila I'm willing to accept, but it's not going to help you in terms of this particular halacha, but Mechila in broad could be accepted. And the Brichadosh sees this as well, the Brichadosh in Aruch Chaim Kuf Mem Gimel Beis. So the Beis Yosef, as of now, in the case of the beardless Chazan, quoted me two different Rishonim, Rambam and Rosh, on both sides of whether you may forgive or not forgive. Then, on leaning from a Chumash, he seems to think that Mechila is hypothetically possible, he's just going to reject it in this particular case because of the Yerushalmi. And yet, there's another Beis Yosef we have to see. And that's regarding the issue of rolling the Sefer Torah in Shul. I brought it for you in Makor Hay. The Parak Balo Kohen Gadol Tanan. This is the Mishnah in Yuma that I mentioned earlier. V'karei achrei mos, v'ach be'osor. The Vagolo Sefer Torah Manicho Becheko. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur lanes Achrei Mos, and he lanes from Ach Be'asor Lachodesh for the Maftir, and he rolls the Sefer Torah, and Manicho Becheko, he holds on to it. U'Be'asor Shebechumash HaPekudim, and the part of Be'asor, I'm sorry, Ach Be'asor is not the Maftir. Be'asor is the Maftir. But the part that he's going to read from Parashas Pinchas, Korei Alpeh, so that he reads by heart. Ubigamara, and then the Gemara asks, Amai, why is he doing that? Niglo v'nikri, let him roll it and read it. Klomar, Lama Kari Alpa, why is he doing this by heart? Yigalena, Washa Gilu Ube Asor Shabachumashapakudin, v'yikrobo, let him roll till he gets the precious Pinchas and then read it. It's not even so far. Achrimos to Pinchas, you know, it's not a big deal. Umeshani lefishen golem sefer Torah b'tzibur b'nei kavarat tzibur. And the Gemara says, because of kavarat tzibur. Upirish Rashi, b'nei kavarat tzibur, sheyu mitzapim v'domamim lakach. I don't know what shul he davened in. He says, because they will be looking forward and they will be silent for this. Unless you say that domain here doesn't mean domain to be silent, but like dom l'Hashem v'ischol l'elo, which you maybe take to mean hope for Hashem. That's what they're hoping for, the next Kriya, as opposed to domain, meaning silence or not. But the point that that he makes is it's not kavod hatzibur for them to wait. V'kasav haMordechai bagoz gittin, we saw this. Shaviyom tov Rosh Chodesh k'she'in shem sefer Torah acher golem sefer Torah. Right, this was the Mordechai quoting the Rashmi Shas. The mutav sheyidache kavod hatzibur v'lo sidcha takanas chacham. He says we'll roll it if the alternative is not leaning. In the Gemara Yuma, v'harash b'kasa b'tshuva, and the Rashba wrote, Sha'alta, Rosh Chodesh shechalios b'Shabbos shemotzi and shnei sifrei Torah. If Rosh Chodesh turns out to be on Shabbos, so you need two sifrei Torah. Im ein lamela sifrei Torah echad, if they only have one, im mutar likros hamaora b'chumashim shalanu. So could you read Pinchas from our chumash? Would that be okay? Tshuva. Mutter likros hamaora bechumish. He says you can read maftir out of the chumish. Shari the parak balo itiru likros bal peh av al pi shedvarm shebichsavi et harash la omer mal peh va'asru likrom bnei kavarat zibur. So the Rashba's answer is, in fact, go ahead, use a chumish for the maftir. Don't roll the Torah. The Koshkin Khan, Shakarim Biksav, Shin Gol, and he says certainly here, this is better than the Kohen Gadol. In the Kohen Gadol's case, he's doing it by heart. Here, you're learning it from a chumish. The Olam Lanagu Elakisvar Rishona. After quoting the Rashba's Tshuva, he says, yeah, but we don't do that. He says, our practice is that we follow the first view, which is to say that we would prefer to read Ba'alpeh. We will not roll. So now I have a problem, right? In the Beardless Chazan case, it's unclear. Laning from a Chumash, he's willing to be Mochel. Rolling the Torah in Shul, he's not willing to be Mochel. So, what do you do? So, in the article by the Frimmers that appeared in Tradition...
What did you say
Svar Rishon is? Svar Rishon, I think, was to read Baal Peh. No, that's the first view that the Rashba presented. He says Mutter Likros Hamor B'Chumish, because there they were Matir Baal Peh.
But I thought Svar Rishon is going back to the.
Oh, you know what? Maybe Svar Rishon
going back to the Mordechai.
Yeah, no, Svar Rishon, you're right. You're right. Svar Rishon probably is going back to the Mordechai. Right, to roll the Sefer. Yeah. No, you're right. Svar Rishon will be to roll the Sefer Torah. I agree. So the Frimmers look at this and say you can't prove anything. However, Poskim do point to source. Where did I bring it? I didn't bring you the Shulchan Aruch itself. I brought you the Prima Gadim on it. That's funny. The Shulchan Aruch in Nun Gimel Vav, which I did not bring on today's sheet for some reason that I don't know. But there he simply quotes you the issue of Kavod Tzibur in terms of the Beardless Chazan. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. That's the Mechaber. That's what Yosef Karo, who we're discussing. So there he mentions not to appoint a beardless chazan, and the Prima Gadim says on that, that when the Shulchan Aruch writes, the reason why you don't appoint a beardless chazan is Mnei Kavod Tzibur, he writes, V'nakid Kavod HaTzibur, Lomar Kol Hecha, the Kavod HaTzibur, Lo Mahani Mechila. He says, why did the Shulchan Aruch see fit to quote Lipnei Kavod HaTzibur? The answer is because where it's Kavod HaTzibur, you can't forgive it. So by saying Mnei Kavod HaTzibur, which is the opposite of an idea that we entertained last week, that by saying Mnei Kavod HaTzibur, you're offering the possibility of Mechila, the Prima Gadim says, no, just the opposite. When you say Mnei Kavod HaTzibur, that means it's not mochlable. You can't forgive it. Yes, that's a word. And so that's the way the Prima Gadim understands the position of the Shulchan Aruch is Mechila is not possible. If you look at the Frimer article in footnote 256, you'll see he brings more views about what the Beis Yosef held. But we have other achronim to fry. What about the position of the Bach? The position of the Bach is that there is mechila, if necessary, sort of. And you'll see what I mean by that. Because he goes on a tear regarding the issue of the beer of Leschazen. I brought it here for you in source Zion. This is a big Bach. He gives you four reasons not to forgive. Okay? Four reasons not to forgive. And this is going to take us back to the position of the Taz from last week, but the Bach is the source. If you recall their relationship, the father-in-law, son-in-law relationship. So he says, on not appointing a beardless chazen, he says, Lefiri is daiti, it's source Zion. Nira, da'afla harambam baharash, but lo mahani mechilas tatzibur. He says, even Rambam and Rashba will say you can't forgive. De'ein perush mipnei kavod atzibur shu kneged kavodam lifnei bnei adam. He says, when you say mipnei kavod atzibur, that doesn't mean it's their dignity that we're worried about and the way they're going to look in front of other people. Shetawol bo mechilas hatzibur. Such that you would say, well, okay, if they forgive it, that's fine. Ela perusho she'ein ze kavod atzibur. The problem is you don't send someone without a beard to be a chazan before Hashem. It's insulting to God. In front of a human king, you wouldn't send somebody without a beard. Even if he's a great chacham, you wouldn't. He has to be somebody impressive looking. He has to look formidable. This person. She's Mali Zikano. He has a full beard. Certainly before Hashem, Telefiza Ein Makum Kla Lomar De Mahani Limno. So Kisharatsu Atzibur Limchol Al Kvodam. So he says, based on that, no, you can't be mochel. It's not your kavod. It's Hashem's kavod. That's point number one out of four. Second point that he makes, Visu, further, Dei Isa de Mahani Mechilas Tzibur Balonis Male Zikano. If you really, really were to say that you could be Mochel, this beardless chazen, Im Kein my Hikshu HaTosfos. Look at Tosfos and Chulin, he says, Miperak HaKare Omeid, Midisnan Katan Eno Yorid Lifnei Ateva Veno Nose Kapav. There's a mission in Megillah that says that a minor may not lead the davening and may not duchen. Mashma, the implication is that he would be allowed to serve as chazan as well as duchen once he is 13, right? That's the clear indication. When you say not when he's under 13, the answer is if he is 13, he may. So he says Tosfos is bothered by that because Tosfos says, wait a minute, but you told me that we need a beard. How is the standard now 13? That's Tosfos' question. But he says, now that's not a problem. Once you believe in Mechila, it's easy. You could answer, the Gemara in Megillah is talking about where they want to be Mochel. And we'll say, and what they're saying is, okay, but he can't be a minor. Right? That's what Tosfos could have answered. The fact that Tosfos did not say that tells me Mechila isn't possible. Ela davar pashut, shekach tiknu chachamim, dechashu lekod tzibur, ein v'yad at tzibur limchol. The answer is, when they made a takana for kavod tzibur, there is no option of mechila. You follow his second point, that Tosfos could have given this as an answer to rationalize the Megillah source.
And give what was the answer he gave, science?
I don't remember. Visu, and further, he gives you a third reason why you can't be mochal kavod zibur. He says, "Din kein kol hani takano shteknu chachamim bnei kavod zibur." All the rules the chachamim made about kavod zibur. Shlo legal sefer Torah bet zibur, not to roll the Torah in front of everybody. V'chein ishlo tikva bet zibur bnei kavod zibur, not having the woman get the aliyah. Upocheach lo yisak hapav, the guy with the tattered clothing not duchening. Dignayu le zibur, that it's disgraceful for the zibur. V'chein katam lo yisas kapav, and the minor not doing it. She'ein kavod zibur lios kfufan lebir chasau. It is not dignified for the tzibur to be bent to his bracha. Imata omer derasho and limchol, if you're going to tell me that they're allowed to forgive it, im kein lo ha'ilu v'takantam klum, dechot tzibur yu mochlin. He says, then what good is the takana? Everyone's going to be mochel whenever they want. Now that's a funny argument, because you can make that argument in many cases. But what he's essentially suggesting is that a takana of kavod tzibur can't be up for mechila, because then there's no point in having a takana like that in the first place. I'm not clear on this third argument of his, because you could definitely argue that there's a purpose to the takana anyway, because that's a benchmark for what kavod is supposed to be. Right? And are you now trying to tell me that all takanos of the chachamim are now even b'dieved binding? There's no way out of any of the takanos? I mean, it's not true. Unless he'll say that this is less than a b'diyamid because they're being mochel. I don't know. But that's his third argument. And his fourth and last argument is v'su. Dinasu Yisrael agudos agudos. Tzibur zeh yimchol v'tzibur zeh lo yimchol. He says, once you make it mochelable, the result is going to be that some people will be mochel and some people won't be mochel. And this shul they do and this shul they do not. And imagine that. You'll have 21st century Judaism. In which, you know, in one shul the chazan gets up with a talis, and one shul he gets up without a talis, and one shul he has a talis on his head. Can you imagine the chaos that would cause in Jewish communities? Yes, there's a little tongue-in-cheek in that. But that's the concern that the Bach presents. So the Bach says here, he seems to say explicitly there's no mechila. Right? His first argument is limited to kavod tzibur, where it's really about Hashem's kavod. His second argument goes with the first, because it's specific to the case of the chazan, which he held as a kavod shamayim issue. His third and fourth will be about all the takanos. Right? That's a fair statement? It's all the takanos. It isn't about kavod shamayim versus kavod of the tzibur. It's about any time they made these takanos. And yet, take a look at source Ches. The Bach, on the issue of skipping with a Sefer Torah, he writes, Ubagos Mordechai Degin, he quotes you that Rash Mishans, right? Tiretz Ibn Shimshon Rabbi Avram, Bahu Rash Mishans, Demutav Yitcha Kavod Tzibur Velo Sitcha Takanas Chachamim. Better to lose Kavod Tzibur and roll the Torah rather than lose Kriyas HaTorah. Shniskanami Merosha Likros Batara. Umavi Obeis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef quoted that. And then he says, Ve'eni Yodea. Why is it that he wrote, that the Rash Mishans wrote, better that you should have Kavod Tzibur overridden? He says that's not called overriding Kavod Tzibur if you roll the Torah. Ela masha tiknu chachamim she'ein medalgim b'Torah. The whole takana of don't roll. V'she'ein gol and say that you don't skip. V'she'ein gol and say v'tar b'tzibur that you don't roll. Mipnei kavod tzibur. Lo tiknu mitchila ela hecha de'efshur shelo ledaleg. The whole point of the takana was only where you don't have other choices. Kigon she'yeshlim sefer Torah acheres, like if they have another Torah. V'chein ein gol in sefer Torah b'tzibur nami ashara luch tachila she'yiglu lo asefer lamakum she'kori bo. And so too, the rule of not rolling is to tell them, hey, you know, you're supposed to roll in advance. But what happens if you're now stuck? So yeah, you skip. And you roll in public. Came into the lavasher because you have no other choices. The takana was not made for the b'diyevet situation in the first place. So that's an entirely different view coming out of the mouth of the Bach, no? Right? The Bach before told me, oh no, you can never override these. And now he's telling me that it's actually built into the takana, that it's overridable.
That's not... Yeah, but mechila would be different than that. Mechila is saying it applies, and then you can somehow forgive it, as opposed to saying, okay, I got the latiku, and it never applies.
Yeah, but now I don't understand. Why couldn't I say that for the takanas he talked about in Nun Gimel?
Mechila, I got the meaning... Could it be that he thinks that they did apply in that case? Meaning, you can make that mechila... You know, in different cases.
But so you're going to tell me that he will believe that even though, in let's say, in his third reason that he gave there, he listed not to be Golel but Tzibur, right? And he said it can't be up for Mechila because then what's the point of their Takana? But right. Now in Ches, when he's talking about rolling the Sefer Torah, he's suddenly saying, but by the way, that's only a Lechatchila. It just sounds so strange, no? It's not a stira mine ube. I wouldn't say that now you've shot down the Bach and we have to start editing manuscripts. But I find it very difficult. You know? I mean, and you keep on reading in the Bach. He says, V'tema mashakasev Beis Yosef b'shem HaRashba. He says, I'm really surprised at what the Beis Yosef writes. The Beis Yosef writes, better to lay out of a chumash or by heart than to roll the Sefer Torah, right? And he says, we don't do that. He says, that's not what we do. If you take a look, you'll see it there. So the Bach is, on the one hand, very against because of Kavod Shemayim as well as these other points. And then on the other hand, he's willing to where there is another way. So it's not clear what he's actually doing here. When you get to the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch, so I brought you the Magen Avraham. If you take a look at Source Test is the line in the Shulchan Aruch that talks about rolling the Sefer Torah. Ein golin Sefer Torah b'tzibur b'nei kavod tzibur. You don't roll the Torah because of kavod tzibur. V'me'elim ala Sefer Torah echad, if they only have one Torah, v'im tzichon likrots b'shnei enyanim, golin v'idache kavod tzibur. The Shulchan Aruch says, then you roll it. You don't have a choice. Roll it and lose kavod tzibur. On which the Magen Avraham writes in Source Yud, V'idache kavod tzibur tzarech iyun. This requires examination. Da'aba kohen gadol he tiru likros al peh v'lo he tiru liklo b'tzibur. If you're telling me that kavod tzibur is overridden, then why is the kohen gadol reading by heart? Shema mina de lo amina yidache kavod tzibur afilu echad lo avshar ben yinache. You see that you don't override kavod tzibur even if there is no other way. V'imkein hachinami, so here too, yikra alpeh, you should read by heart in shul, k'mo shekasef ha-Beis Yosef b'shem ha-Rashba, like the Beis Yosef quoted the Rashba is saying. You follow the problem. Right? It's straightforward. If you believe, as the Shulchan Aruch says, that covenant tzibur can be overridden, then why is the Kohen Gadol leaning by heart on Yom Kippur? So his answer is, v'tzarech lomar, you have to say, d'bish lama b'mikdash hayu kol Yisrael. He says, in the Beis HaMikdash, you have all Israel standing there. V'lo machlu. And they were not mochel, because it's everybody. As opposed to a shul, you don't have as many people as you had in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Presumably in a shul they're mochel, because they want to catch maftir. He says that's the idea. That's his solution. Shul is different from Beis HaMikdash. That's a separate point. I didn't need the end there.
It seems to be conflating two issues. I don't think that something being dafoi is the same as being mochel or something.
Okay.
Meaning, the way the Shulchan Aruch writes is v'yitzeh kavod tzibur, and then the Magen Avraham's question, and he ends up answering by saying, because in one case they're mochel, in the other case they're not mochel. Right, so it could be that he's
conflating the two.
Right, he's taking the issue of dafoi and then putting it into really mechila.
Yes.
The question, when you think of something being dafoi, then or dafuya, then it would make sense. I mean, that's a good question. Because what's the difference between going gadol and here?
Yeah.
Then he ends up saying, oh, because here is mochel, here is not mochel.
So why doesn't the Magen Avraham simply say that there it was nidcha because of the importance of Kriyas HaTorah in the Beis HaMikdash?
But there it wouldn't be. That's why it wasn't nidcha.
I'm sorry, there was not right.
Right. So I don't know. Meaning, I understand why he's giving the answer of Mechila, because I think level of Nitzcha is harder, I think, to make a distinction between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Why would one be, especially because in the basic Mechila wasn't Nitzcha, right?
Right.
And
correct.
And there it was. But I feel like that'd be harder to make that distinction. Therefore, it's making the distinction within Mechila, but.
No, unless what he's saying is that Kavanah Tzibur in the base Hamikdash is strong, and therefore it is Madche. The issue of reading from a Sefer Torah.
I mean, but here
it's not.
It's not as strong, therefore it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not what he's saying.
But it's not the answer he gives. It's a good point. That there is, that you follow what he's saying, there's another solution to the problem. Josh is suggesting then maybe the answer is not to view this in terms of mechila at all, but simply which is more important. There were two factors, and one was considered more important than the other. Kavod Tzibur is greater there than it is in a shul. That raises the question of whether Kavod Tzibur is tied to the specific community. But yes. The position of the Machtz Nashakel, we're going through this as sort of like a laundry list of figures, because I think it matters. In other words, if we want to get to the question of women's aliyos and whether, as is popularly argued in certain circles, the community should simply be mochel or kavod tzibur, you have to look at it outside of that framework and in broad, in terms of whether there are options of being mochel or not. And what we're seeing so far is the position of the Rambam is unclear. The position of the Rosh is you cannot be mochel. The position of the Rosh Mishnah, as quoted by the Mordechai, is you may be mochel for a greater mitzvah purpose. The Beis Yosef is very unclear. The Bach himself seems to be very against until he isn't. Against being mochel until he isn't. The Magen Avraham here suggests that mechila is the answer in explaining the issue of what the Kohen Gadol is doing on Yom Kippur. The Machtz HaShekel says you may be mochel. Machtz HaShekel, commenting on the Magen Avraham there, says that you are allowed to be mochel. If you take a look at Source Yud Aleph, when the Magen Avraham, remember, the Machtz HaShekel is a commentary in this case on the Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham told you, look at the Beis Yosef. He says, "Rotzalomar diika siyata ledivrei Magen Avraham." Meaning, look at the Beis Yosef, because he there is a support for the position of the Magen Avraham. Dimahani mechila satzibur, that the community's forgiveness does work. Shakasav sham harav Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef wrote lefi atam shakasav Yerushalmi, based on the Yerushalmi. We saw this already. Right? That the reason not to lay it out of a chumash is because you want people to be upset. It should be tatz dekoi, not tzad dekoi. That's a typo. In the CD, it should be tatz dekoi. Liknos lahem sefer Torah shlema. They're going to come up with every possible plan to come up with a real sefer Torah. Lefize afilu machlo atzibur akvodam lo mahani. So even if they are mochel, it doesn't work for that reason. Mashma de latam shnas and shash shalanu ibn kavod tzibur mahani machlo atzibur akvodam. But then that means if I was left with the Bavli's reason of kavod tzibur, that would work. You follow what he's saying? The Machtz HaShekel is saying that. We've seen this already before, but now the Machtz HaShekel is saying it. From the fact that Beis Yosef says the reason why I may not lean out of a chumash is because of the reason I may not lean out of the chumash is because of the Yerushalmi's reason, because you want to give people an incentive to get themselves a Sefer Torah, that means that if I was left to the Bavli's reason of Kavod Tzibur, I could override it. You follow? And we saw this already before, but now that's in the Machtz HaShekel's mouth. So Machtz HaShekel says, yeah, Mechila is doable. Mechila is possible. And then the last one I'm going to quote from all these poskim is the Mishnah Brura. And the Mishnah Brura is unclear. In the case of the beardless Chazan, in Source Yud Beis, when it says Kavod HaTzibur, he writes Ve'ein HaTzibur Yecholim Limchol HaKvodam Bazeh. No Mechila. That wasn't unclear at all. Right? He said no Mechila. But note that he said Bazeh. Right? In this. When you get to women laning Megillah for men, in Source Yud Dalid, I'm sorry, so it's your Gimel. He says, Yesh Omer Mishanashim Eina Motzios. So he brings you both the reasons why women wouldn't lay Megillah for men. He says, Velodami Lener Chanukah, the Sha'ani Megillah, the Havik Mokuyas HaTorah, Upsulam Abnei Kavarat Zibur. He says, the reason why women would not lay for men is because Megillah is like Kriyas HaTorah. Women don't lay in Kriyas HaTorah. Therefore, they don't do this either, and that's Kavod HaTzibur. That's one explanation. And even for an individual, she couldn't do it, even though you'll say, well, that's not like Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is communal. Nonetheless, Mishum Lo Plug. That's his first explanation. Lo Plug, we don't do it. Vigam, and also, he brings you a second reason. De'efshar de'isha in hayevis bekriya rak lishmoa. Maybe women aren't obligated in reading the Megillah, they're obligated in hearing the Megillah. That's a whole separate discussion. Uchidah Kameh, as is discussed further in the Shulchan Aruch. Umikri she'en mechuyevis bedavar legabe yish. So therefore, she is called not obligated compared to the man who has the obligation to read it Aval isha motzias chaverta, but a woman could lain for another woman. That wouldn't be a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah here quotes the kavod as well as the other explanation, and he uses the word psula. Yes. Thank you. He uses the word psula, that she's disqualified. So on that, Rav Zilberstein is Chashuk Echemet in Megillah Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, says when you say psula, that means mechila is not possible. Mechila is not doable. But then, when you get to rolling the Sefer Torah in Shul, in Source Yudalit, he says, Goal in V'yidache Kavod Sibur, like we saw, right? The Shulchan Aruch that he's commenting on is what we already saw back in Source Tes. So in Yudalit, the Mishnah Berurah comments on it and says, V'lo'am rinan d'mishum ze yikra parsha shal hamafter be'al peh o b'chumish. We don't say the lane by heart or out of a chumish. Presumably they forgive their honor in order to do the mafkir properly. So now the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, we are mochel. Two other cases we were mochel. Here we are mochel. And then, in the case of not leaning from a chumish, he is unclear. In the Sharat Siyun, yeah, I brought it on here. If you take a look at Tesvav, not leaning from a chumish, we say in Tesvav, he writes, Mnei Kavod Atzibur. He does not bring the Yerushalmi. He brings the Bavli. Kavod HaTzibur is your concern in leaning from a Chumash. And then in Tezayin, he writes Gemara. That's where it's coming from. V'ayinu shelo yomru she'elam sefer Torah shleima. Lest people say they don't have a full Torah. V'zeh ginay lohem. And that would be disgraceful for them. In the Bir Halacha, though, which I didn't bring you on here, he says that there's a machlokes about whether they could be mochel on their kavod, and he refers you over to the beardless chazan discussion in which the Taz said no mechila, and the Pechadish said yes mechila. So Mishnah Berurah is not 100% clear either. So what this amounts to is we spent about 40 minutes today and more time last week to discover that the Rishonim and Achronim are not clear on whether I'm able to be mochel on kavod tzibur. It's important to note, not all Kavod Tzibur cases are created equal. One is the idea we already saw in the Taz, that maybe there are cases of Kavod Tzibur which are about the community's honor, and then there are cases of Kavod Tzibur that are Hashem's honor, right? We saw it in the Taz and we saw it in the Bach, right? We already discussed that in terms of the beardless Hazen, right? This should sound familiar. So that's a potential argument, and indeed the Aruch HaShulchan says that. If you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Yudzayin, his statement about the beardless chazan is if you take a look there, she'enu, I'm jumping to his second line in the interest of time, she'enu mechavod shamayim she'ashlucham shalat tzibur na'varach b'shanim. It's not within their honor to have a kid get up there and be chazan. V'lachin afilu berotzen atzibur en b'chalazo liyashlech tzibur kavua. We're not going to take him even if that's what they want. Now, here's the interesting thing about the Aruch HaShulchan. If you jump now to Source Yud Ches, when he gets to the issue of rolling the Sefer Torah, it has nothing to do with Kavod Shemayim. Chazal b'yuma, the end goal in Sefer Torah, but Tzibur b'nei Kavod HaTzibur, when it says Samach Tes, that's a mistake of the CD, or the edition, whatever, it should be Ayin. Samach Tes is where the Mishnah is, Ayin is where the Gemara is. None of it is on Samach Tes. But he says, in Yuma, they say, end goal in Sefer Torah, but Tzibur b'nei Kavod HaTzibur, klomar, meaning, de'ein kavod atzibur lahamtin ad sheyiglulu sefer Torah al makom shetzarech likros bo hayom. It's not within their dignity to wait. V'zeh mutal al hashamash. It's the responsibility of the shamash. O al hakore, or the person reading, lego la mikodem, to roll it before mikodem atfila. Ulachia al makom shetzarech likros bo hayom, to prepare it for where they're going to read today. V'rabim ein nizharin bidin zeh. You got to love the Aruch HaShulchan. He said, and people are, he's going to go to town on this. People aren't careful about this. V'nitzrach la'azhiram, you have to warn them. Ki ein yodim she'eshi isur b'zeh. They don't know that this is usur. And then he goes on to say, and yeah, and we roll it if we got stuck. That's the way we do it. That's just the way we deal with it.
Don't we make that similar distinction within the Mishnah Berurah also? That the where he said you could be mochel was Kavod Shamayim. You couldn't be mochel, was Kavod Shamayim. And where you could be, that was the Tzibur itself.
Well, looking at the Mishnah Berurah's cases, he said on the beardless chazan no machila, so that's consistent. Women leading Megillah for men, assuming I take the Chashuge Chemed's read, that psula means Mechila is not possible.
Yeah. Isn't that also, is that a Kavod Shamayim issue?
We don't know yet. We haven't discussed women and Kavod yet.
We mentioned that they weren't, well, we kept Chris Torah because they might not be Chayav. That's one of the Svaras, but I'm not sure yet. Okay.
So I don't know what to do with that one. I'm not leading from a Chumash. So he said it's Genai, that sounds like it's theirs.
And
it's the machlokes of being moch. Yeah,
I'm not. After the ruling, he says you go.
Yeah, I keep wondering when I read the ruling one, where everybody just says, "Yeah, we do this."
Yeah.
Whether it's not something a concession to reality. In other words, if we can't be mochel, then every shul in the world is doing this wrong.
Right.
Yeah, I think that it almost stands on its own.
The only case you find kula is in.
That's the only case we find it across the board kula.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are two other approaches. It's already 11:26, so I'm going to say it outside, but I want to come back to it inside, God willing, next Friday. I'm not sure next Friday's going to work, because I'm giving a shiur at a law firm early in the morning, but I think I should be back in time. But there are two other ideas. One idea is that this is really not about kavod across the board. This is the Mechas Asher of Asher Weiss. He says that some of them are about kavod, in which case you may not be mochel, and some of them are about tircha, in which case you are able to be mochel, which on the face of it is very appealing. Not rolling the Sefer Torah is not really making me look undignified, right? It's not about that. If you roll the Sefer Torah in front of me, that's a disgrace to my honor. It's simply a pain. The only way we made it into a kavod issue was because the fact that no one thought to do this in advance showed a lack of respect for the community. But fundamentally, it's about it being annoying. That's a tircha issue. And then you can be mochel on tircha. Kavod, you can't be mochel because we have this concept of kavod zibur. That's one approach. And then the last approach that we're going to mention is Rav Zilberstein in Chashuke Chemed to Megillah Chaf Aleph also makes a distinction of degree. Well, his is really a distinction of degrees. He says there is such a thing as lack of kavod, meaning, okay, it's not the most respectful way to do things, and then there's such a thing as genai, where it's actually disgraceful. So he says having a beardless chazan, right, you know, daven for you, that's a genai. That's serious. Whereas if the chazan sits when he's leaning Megillah, alright, so it's lack of kavod. But it's not genai. Now, part of me feels like this is sort of retrofitted. Like, let's look at the cases, and then we'll just classify them. This will be genai, and this will be kavod, because that way it'll be consistent across the board. But we'll have to see the Chashuke Chemed inside. If you want to look ahead, it's source chaf. But God willing, we'll start with that next week, and then we'll move into the question of kavod atzibur and women's aliyos, and what we mean. Four different approaches, I should say, to what it means when we say that women's aliyos are subject to the concern for kavod atzibur. Before finally getting to the question of whether you can forgive kavod tzibur for a women's aliyah. And then, in the weeks following, we still have to get to the question of kol isha, and a couple of other issues, kavod abrios versus kavod tzibur. There's a lot more to see yet. I don't know how much of this will actually finish before Rosh Chodesh Av. But we'll do the best we can. All right? Shkaya. Have a good shot.